This is Jerry Pippin, and this is our UFO show.
Hi, this is Jerry Pippin inviting you to join me and Nancy Wallace in Albuquerque, New Mexico on Friday, August 10th at the Albuquerque Marriott for the opening of the second annual Wake Up Now conference. From the 10-minute opening guided meditation to the closing event on Sunday, you will be treated to a journey into awareness that you will treasure for the rest of your life. 60 vendor spaces, 12 major speakers, including Bill Murphy, Brooks Agnew, David Weatherly, Lynn Buchanan, Nick Redfern, and Patty Greer in person, plus a screening of her latest film. Check out all the information by entering Wake Up Now Conference in your search engine or go to the banners on our website at jerrypippin.com. This is a benefit for the Pace Setting School of Now. We'll see you in Albuquerque.
Welcome back to our UFO show. I got a little press release sometime back from a major public relations company, and it was about Nick Redfern, and we always like to have Nick on anyway, but this press release really got my attention. It made my clock tick, as they say. Basically, it said, Nick Redfern exposes Pentagon secrets, classified files about pyramids, lost civilizations, and UFOs. Now, I mean, if that doesn't get your interest, I don't know what will. And so we thought we would get Nick Redfern on the air here and talk to him about the book. And I believe, Nick, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks, Jerry.
And I believe the name, I need to give the real name of the book. It's called The Pyramids and the Pentagon. And then there's a subtitle like The Government's Top Secret Pursuit of Mystical Relics, Ancient Astronauts, and Lost Civilizations. Did I pretty much get it?
Yep, that's perfect, yeah.
You're the most prolific guy I know. You're always writing.
Well,
coming up with interesting subjects.
I like to write, and I try and always come up with new data and ideas. You know, I don't like to just go over old ground or whatever. You know, I like to try and pursue a new angle, and that's what, you know, I hope I've done with this book. You know, I mean, the ancient astronauts thing has been obviously covered, you know, from the days of Chariots of the Gods through Zachariah Sitchin and, you know, TV shows like Ancient Aliens. And but there was one area that really had never been addressed before to any great extent, and that wasn't, you know, just the ancient astronauts scenario per se, you know, of aliens visiting in the distant past. But it was what government agencies know about that subject. And nobody really delved into that to a great extent. And I had a lot of snippets of stories, such as things like CIA files on Noah's Ark and the Pentagon's research into the pyramids and how they were built. And they were just snippets. So I began sort of digging into it further and then realized that, you know, there was actually a huge story here of how the government was sort of digging into the mysteries of the past as much as they were, you know, UFOs of the present, if you like.
Yeah, I had not thought about this so much until we decided to have you on the show, which you're always welcome to be on. But as recently as last week, we had a soundbite with a member of the CIA, and he was talking about looking at lost civilizations and relics and things like that. Mm-hmm. So evidently, that's piqued our government's interest for some time.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of these things where people say, well, why on earth would government agencies be interested in the pyramids, you know, or things like this? And I think it's clear from reading the files. I mean, one of the things I do in the book is actually use the Freedom of Information Act. We've got quite a lot of files and, you know, previously unseen documentation on this whole issue. And it's pretty clear that one of the things they were looking at, for example, with the pyramids was whether or not they could have been built with, like, levitation or anti-gravity. And so the idea was to look into this, not to really sort of answer historical and archaeological questions about the pyramids, but if they were built with anti-gravity, to try and determine how it was done, and if that sort of ancient lost technology could be found and rediscovered and then weaponized in the modern era. So in other words, the whole issue of looking into these tremendous ancient technologies, if you like, was to try and, you know, utilize it for the military today rather than uncover and solve archaeological mysteries, if you like.
Yeah, you talk about the pyramids, and of course it's all kind of mystical to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But evidently, there are many people in high places and high seats of government, not only here in the U.S., but other places, that have been interested in that technology you're talking about. We all remember the Cecil DeMille movie where they had all the slaves moving the rocks on them. But it probably didn't happen that way.
No, I mean, what's interesting is that all cultures around the world, whether it's in Egypt, South America, Central America, England with Stonehenge, they all have legends and rumors attached to them, or folklore if you like, that the stones were sort of magically risen into the air. You know, they were sort of by magic means. They were just lifted up, you know, like a just something floating into the sky, if you like a balloon. And, you know, there's no real way to explain that beyond some sort of anti-gravity or levitation process. Now, if it was just in one part of the world, you know, you could write it off as a myth. But when you have the ancient Greeks, the Romans, the Egyptians, the British, South America, Central America, all having these stories and being separated by thousands of miles, you know, and in many cases never even met each other, and you find that, you know, in each of these cultures, they're talking about multi-ton stones. You know, I mean, some of these stones weigh 50, 100 tons. I mean, the biggest stone at Baalbek in the Middle East weighs in at just around about 1,000 tons. You know, that we could not move that, you know, an airlift that today, never mind thousands of years ago. And what's interesting is that one of the early researchers in this field, who actually came along way before even Eric von Daniken, was a man named Maurice Jessop, who wrote a book in the 50s called The Case for the UFO. And he actually traveled out to sort of Central and South America and came away pretty much convinced that many of these sort of ancient structures were built with the benefit of like anti-gravity or levitation. And what was interesting is that the Navy actually invited him out to Washington, D.C. to discuss all his theories and ideas. And this, the people who interviewed him were actually from like a special advanced weapons department. So this clearly demonstrates as far back as the 50s, you know, there was this interest on the part of the government in determining if, you know, the ancients had developed some sort of technology which, for whatever reason we don't really know, got lost, you know, or relegated to folklore. And today most people think it's just nonsense. But the government clearly didn't, you know, because they took a great deal of interest and began following a lot of the authors who were writing about this and talking about it.
Yeah, and, you know, we don't have anybody in the government admitting it, but there seems to have been, and it's still going on, lots of experiments of cloaking devices, moving things up and down runways and riverways and into ports and all of that kind of stuff. You wonder if maybe there was some civilization back there that, had this anti-gravity down pat already. I mean, how else could you build those pyramids? And then you got pyramids down in South America.
Yeah. I mean, one of the interesting things is, and this sounds kind of weird to start with, but all these legends around the world and folklore, they all say that these stones, when they say they were magically lifted into the air, they actually say it was all to, like, tunes and to music and to the, you know, to the tunes of musical instruments and things like that. Now, that sounds weird when you say it like that, but what they're actually saying is that the stones were lifted into the air via acoustics. Now, what's interesting is the military today is actually examining what's called acoustic levitation. And basically, the idea, you can describe it in not too technical terms. It's where you have two what are called opposing sound frequencies and within interfering sound waves. And what it does, it creates what's called a resonance zone where you can manipulate and lift objects within that resonance zone via the use of directed acoustic sound waves. Now, the military is actually researching this and has actually even lifted small objects in these acoustic sound waves, if you like. So in other words, you know, our military is researching levitation using sound, and the stories about the pyramids and the South American pyramids and even Stonehenge is that they were built to the sound of magical music, which actually sounds like a folkloric distortion of advanced acoustic technology. So, you know, the mere fact that the military is looking into it suggests that they may have well have got some of their sort of directions and, you know, pointers from this ancient technology. But, of course, the big question is, you know, if that was how all these ancient structures were built, were they built by visiting aliens that had this technology, or was it some ancient race that possessed it, you know, like a terrestrial race, a human race, that, you know, either got destroyed or destroyed itself, and then the technology was lost and just relegated to mythology, you know.
Yeah, it's a fascinating subject. I think many, many people are always interested in...
Well, I think the pyramids fascinate everybody, you know, because they're just so huge, and they just provoke so many questions about how they were built and moved, etc.
When we talk about mystical relics, mm-hmm. I think of the Ark of the Covenant. Did you write anything about that?
Yeah, I mean, the Ark of the Covenant is sort of a very interesting story. I mean, certainly in fiction at least, you know, it was really sort of thrust into the public domain in 1981 with the Indiana Jones film, The Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know, which talked about the Nazis actually trying to get their hands on the Ark of the Covenant because, you know, it supposedly had all these mystical, magical powers, etc. And that's actually true. You know, the Nazis did have an entire wing, if you like, where their entire job was to sort of pretty much, you know, run around the world and track down these various mystical relics that Adolf Hitler believed possessed, you know, supernatural powers that could be used against the Allies, etc. But in reality, there is sort of like a parallel to this, and it relates to the CIA, who actually took an interest in the Ark of the Covenant, which isn't actually surprising because, you know, there are stories about it supposedly having the ability to part waters and, again, sort of bring down stone walls, which, again, might be an examination of like something like acoustic technology. You know, maybe it isn't just can be utilized to build things and move things. Maybe, you know, these acoustic directed energies could bring down structures. Now, of course, you know, that sort of provokes the imagery, you know, of the walls of Jericho being brought down to the sound of trumpets. You know, maybe, again, that's an acoustic technology. But the Ark of the Covenant, you know, was supposedly, you know, possessed of these various advanced powers and technologies that, you know, if you got too close to it, you could be killed, which... This has sort of given rise to the idea, you know, was it some sort of electric powered thing that, you know, if you weren't grounded and you walked towards it, you know, you would get a shock, etc. So it sounds like an ancient machine like a highly advanced ancient machine when you listen to the stories. And what's interesting is that the CIA, certainly in the 1960s, had a deep interest in the Ark of the Covenant. And one of the people who was heavily interested in the Ark of the Covenant was Edgar Cayce, the prophet and seer. And his headquarters was in Virginia, or still is, in Virginia Beach. And we know now that several CIA personnel actually infiltrated Casey's headquarters, basically to sort of find out all what he knew about these sort of mysteries of the past. So, you know, clearly people were looking at the Ark of the Covenant as not some sort of mystical thing from God, but like a highly advanced machine of some sort, and, you know, then the race was on to try and find it, if you like.
Yeah, you know, I've always been interested in that, and and you mentioned the sound waves and the sonic.
Yeah.
I've always suspected that perhaps that was something connected to the Ark of the Covenant, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
And I've heard other people say, well, it was actually a weather machine.
Well, I mean, whatever sort of, yeah, I mean, yeah, people talked about the weather angle, you know, all the acoustic angle, the sort of, almost as if it had possessed qualities that allowed people to sort of manipulate gravity in terms of moving and parting water, that sort of thing. You know, so whatever it was, it seems to have been a highly advanced device with different properties and, you know, that could achieve different things. And so, you know, it's no wonder, I guess, that... you know, people were on the hunt for it. And of course, that intriguing thing that, you know, God supposedly warned people not to get too close to it. And when people did, you know, it was almost like they dropped down dead, you know, as if they literally had an electric shock. And, excuse me.
And if we talk about maybe the Ark of the Covenant was ancient astronaut origins, there may be more than one of them out there.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, if regardless of whether it's ancient astronauts or highly advanced ancient civilizations from here or a combination of the two, you know, I think there's enough evidence and data. Granted, a lot of it is, you know, sort of oral data and written in books, etc. But to suggest that some of these ancient artifacts did survive, you know, and that maybe some of them are hidden by government, but maybe others are hidden by, you know, religious bodies and things like that that don't really know what to do with them because they fear how it might impact upon religion if they're shown to be ancient machines or something. So I think governments recognize that there probably are places around the world where some of this sort of deep data that would really change whole entire aspects of history, you know, is probably stored away somewhere, just, you know, waiting to be uncovered, if you like.
Yeah, Nick Redfern, we're talking with, and we're talking about his latest book, and we'll get more into details and go to the title again here in a minute. But, Nick, we're talking about the Ark of the Covenant. What's your gut feeling about that? Do you think somebody knows where at least one of these things are or is?
Well, yeah, I mean, the interesting thing about the Ark is that, you know, there are a lot of stories about it having been moved and moved again and moved again, you know, as if there were people who are the ones who are guarding it realized that other people were looking for it. Now, certainly the CIA was on the hunt for it. Now, I don't think, or I've seen no evidence that the CIA found it or them. You know, it's like, who's to say that, you know, you're quite right. There could be numerous arcs that, you know, one person thinks they've got the arc and somebody else thinks they've got
the
arc.
It's kind of like a dog chasing a car. What are they going to do with it when they find it?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I think more than anything else, though, that, you know, when you analyze it in black and white fashion, there's no doubt that it sounds like some sort of highly advanced ancient machine rather than some sort of magical wooden box that talked or whatever, you know. It actually sounds like some sort of advanced technology. And I think maybe, you know, it's sort of borderline as to whether or not they'd even recognize it when they found it because it's so steeped in mythology that it's this sort of this small ark, if you like, this small box, you know, not very big at all, but who's to say, you know, what it actually really looked like. And so, and of course, there's probably a lot at stake as to, you know, certain people who want it remaining hidden and other people who, you know, would sort of kill to get their hands on the technology. So,
what other mystical relics fascinated you when you were doing the research for this book?
Well, I think certainly one of the most intriguing of all was the CIA's and the Pentagon's search for the remains of Noah's Ark, which, you know, is a very different sort of ark. You know, the Ark of the Covenant is this sort of small box. Noah's Ark, of course, is this sort of huge ship, which, according to the biblical legends, you know.
And I've known several people looking for Noah's Ark, Mount Arafat, and some people say they found it, some people haven't.
Yeah, that's
what,
right. You know, the biblical story is that Noah's Ark landed on Mount Ararat after the flood, and, you know, it had sort of two of each animals on board, et cetera, et cetera. But you can find flood legends in pretty much every culture around the world, and they don't all talk about Noah, you know, and the ship landing on Mount Ararat, but they all talk about, you know, the gods coming down and telling or helping people to build these giant arks, which were then filled with animals, you know, and that certain areas, I mean, India has its own flood legend. Other areas in the Middle East have theirs. Even Native American Indians, there's a legend of how the gods told them to build these huge canoes to save all the animals. You know, so every culture has this. So there probably were massive floods in times past and that, you know, certain people survived them. But the story of Noah's Ark as it relates to the Pentagon, what happened was that in 1949, the U.S. military mission was flying towards the border of the Soviet Union where the Russians were building a new missile base, and they had to fly right near Mount Ararat to get to the border area where this base was being built, and they were going to get photographs of it. And as they approached Mount Ararat and flew near the peak, one of the guys on board said he could see this huge wing-like structure, which is about 300 feet long, sticking out of the ice. And the top of Mount Ararat is sort of frozen, you know, with ice and snow all year round. And one of the other guys said he could see a similar wing-like structure of a similar length on the opposing face. And so they, you know, they quickly swung round and photographed all this as well. And, of course, you know, if they were wings, you've got an overall wingspan of 600 feet. You know, nobody was flying aircraft, you know, with 600 feet wingspans in 1949. But what's intriguing is that they didn't look like a boat. You know, they didn't look like an old ark or ship. They literally looked like massive wings. So the pictures were taken, and the guys carried on with the original mission, flew back to base, explained what had happened, and all the pictures went to the Pentagon. They were shared with the CIA and vanished for years, although a few of them have now been declassified through the Freedom of Information Act, but not many of them. Now, officially, the Pentagon never called whatever this thing was on Mount Ararat Noah's Ark. They referred to it as the Ararat Anomaly, and that's what they still call it today, and that's what the files are titled, the Ararat Anomaly. And again, I used the Freedom of Information Act to get files on this, and got about 70 pages from the CIA, which talked about, you know, their research into it, and how they'd even sent agents out to sit in the audience at lectures where authors who'd written books about Noah's Ark were giving lectures, and the CIA sat in the audience and listened. You know, so it clearly demonstrates how they were interested in the story of Noah's Ark. But again, it's like, why on earth would the CIA be interested in a story of an old boat? You know, if it is just an old boat, then the CIA would have no interest. But one of the theories that was addressed and researched, and again, they even followed authors who were pursuing this angle, was the idea that what if Noah's Ark wasn't just a huge old ship, you know, with 2x2 animals on board or whatever? What if it was actually an alien ark, like a huge fleet of an armada, if you like, of arks in the sky that came to the Earth when aliens realized that, you know, there was this going to be this massive cataclysm on Earth, which is going to result in floods and tidal waves and, you know, earthquakes, etc., all across the planet. And it was going to, you know, shake up the entire planet for possibly even centuries, you know, where it'd have to rebuild again. And if they could see that coming, you know, the CIA looked at the idea, well, what if they sent down these huge arcs and, you know, took examples of human life, animal life, etc., in the event that the catastrophe was so big that, you know, it would involve sort of the reseeding of the planet again.